This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Echo, Lima, Delta, Shield.
Welcome to the latest pay-per-view reaction show here on the Place to Be Nation. I'm Will, and I'm here with Johnny and Pete from the Titans of Wrestling podcast, and I'm here with my good buddy Chris Zellner, who has done a ton of shows here on the Place to Be Nation with us. And guys, let's jump right into this pay-per-view. This was the Extreme Rules pay-per-view. It was in New Jersey, right? This was in
New
Jersey, and it started off in the pre-show with a WLC between Hornswoggle and Torito. So we're going to start this one off with Chris Zellner. Zellner, what did you think of the WLC?
I liked the presentation. I mean, they had they went full board at the mini referee, the mini ring announcer, who was the best ring announcer on their roster right now, and they had the mini announce team of Mike Rocole, Jerry Smaller, and JB Elf. And they were...
What was the JB Elf one called? What was the JB Elf one called?
JB Elf.
JB Elf. I got it.
I thought that they had some good moments. It kind of got a little old there towards the end. That was to be expected. They were going to beat us over the head with all the small jokes. But I thought the work was pretty good, considering, and there was some pretty wacky spots in this match, just especially the ones taken by the Matadores at 3&B when they went through a table with ladders on top of them by the railing. I'm like, shit. But the little step ladders, a little bit tables, a little bit chairs. I thought it was a fun match. Torito finished with the spring will see you to the table. Yeah, it was good. It was fun for what it was.
And what about you, Johnny Sorrow?
You know, it's funny. I just gotten in from going to see a production of Sound of Music. And I sit down, and I miss the beginning. So I go from the Sound of Music to midgets killing each other. I love my life. And I didn't see the introduction of these announcers, and I turned on the network, and I'm like, who the fuck is talking? What is this? I was baffled until I saw them. I'm going, oh, okay. I get it. You know what this reminds me of? If they were going to go for Extreme Rules to be some sort of like ECW homage, this was the FBI / whatever wacky comedy, crazy hardcore match that you'd throw in at the beginning with BWO, that kind of thing. And I start out and I'm like, it's cute. Look, cute little ladders, cute little. And then they start killing each other. I was like, wow, this is fucking crazy. I enjoyed it for what it was. I was like, it was insane and fun. And, there's the logic that you can't buy. Like, yeah, the midget just threw Heath Ledger. Well, no, but whatever. Who gives? Who gives a crap? So it was funny, and they worked hard. They worked hard, and so what more can you ask?
What about you, Pete?
Yeah, well, first I want to touch on the thing of the Extreme Rules. I really think they should do a breakdown, like maybe unless I missed it, maybe kind of explain that the rules are extreme, that there really aren't any rules on the show, that that's why there's no rhyme and reason to being able to brawl into the crowd for 4 minutes or 5 minutes or whatever. But that's just a small point. On that match, they worked their asses off. The presentation, like the guys have said, was just tremendous. It was funny. But, I cannot believe these guys were killing each other just for the sake of comedy. it was a match. Got over huge with the crowd. Those guys worked their asses off, so you can't really shit on them. But my God, it had no rhyme or reason, but they worked hard and it was a lot of fun.
Hey, like Steve Martin once said, comedy ain't pretty.
Well, I'll tell you what, man. I'm a huge fan of midgets. So anytime you put midgets in a match, I know you're not supposed to call them midgets. Dwarves,
oh, okay.
The little people, whatever.
Some don't care. They want to be called midgets.
All right, all right. As long as Hornswoggle doesn't care, I'm good with it. But I thought they were playing up the comedy stuff a little bit too much early on. But when they came back from the commercial break, I thought that's when they kind of just kind of went nuts with the wild spot-orific stuff. Which, hey, you know, for about an hour and a half into the show, it was the match of the night. So kudos to them for keeping me entertained in that last little section. Some of it, you know, a little choreographed, but still, you want to see plunder. You want to see kind of destruction around the ring in a match like that. And so I kind of wish they would have, like, let these guys do a little bit of a serious destruction match. I think they could do one of those, but you know, they played it up for midget comedy and it was fine for what it was. So
all this needed was a Dusty on commentary, and it would have been
that would have been amazing.
Perfect.
That's awesome.
The whole show needed Dusty on commentary.
Yeah, I agree.
No, that's true.
This commentary team is done. They're used up. I mean, we definitely need something different. But having said all that, let's move on to the pay-per-view proper. First match of the night, Cesaro versus RVD versus Jack Swagger in an elimination match that the announcers didn't know about. They didn't know.
Weren't aware of. Yeah.
Yeah. Cesaro, I don't know. I don't think you've been real critical of RVD in this return. I know a lot of other people have. So what did you think of this match and RVD in it?
Who?
You, Sorrow. Johnny Sorrow.
Oh, Sorrow. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, RVD lover.
Yeah, you know what? I love RVD, and I thought this was probably the best of the matches he's had since he's been back. You're right, though. That was he saved the pin because, you know, he doesn't want the match to end. And then I was thinking to myself, is it an elimination? And then it was a great spot that the cameras missed where after Cesaro does that fucking deadlift suplex of Swagger from the outside of the apron to the inside, and RVD takes advantage and hits the 5-star frog splash for the 1-2-3, and the cameras missed RVD coming off the rope, and you saw this like blip of a splash, and I'm like 1-2-3, and I'm like, oh, is that over? Like, and then you hear the announcer go, Jack Swagger has been eliminated. I'm like, someone got their fucking signals crossed. But, you know, it's not the worst thing that's ever happened in wrestling. You know, it didn't ruin the match. And I thought RVD had his working boots on. I enjoy RVD. Sue me. Like, every criticism you can make of the guy, I'll go, yeah, I don't care. I like him. And Cesaro was a beast in this fucking match. He's the man. And he won, thank goodness. As much as I love RVD, if he had won, I would have been like, no, that's not.
Yeah, right. Thank God Cesaro won. That's for sure. What do you think? What do you think there, Zellner?
Let's see. I think the match got better once it became Cesaro and RVD.
Yeah,
when they were all three. All three were in there, it was kind of sloppy. And Swagger, from what I've read on Twitter, I think that finish was botched. He was not supposed to kick. He was not supposed to kick out there, whatever it was. So yeah, that's why there was confusion.
Yeah, I noticed that too.
That's why. Yeah, that's why it was confusion.
So he kicked out, but they still gave him the three anyway and dumped him, right?
Yeah, it was not supposed to happen that way.
Okay.
Not at that time, I guess. But Cesaro was really damn good here. I'm a mar for that deadlift superplex in the eight.
Oh.
And Jack Swagger's a big dude, and you know, pick him up like that and just throw him down. Yeah, that was good stuff. Oh, speaking of Swagger, I love his new rain jacket with big hawks on the on his chest.
Actually,
great
actually, that's not new. That's not new. When they were the Real Americans, he had a jacket that said Big Hoss, and Cesaro had one that said Tony.
Okay, well, this was a red. Yeah. I guess I noticed it more because it was red. It was
a red different jacket. Color. Different color.
Yeah.
Different color.
That made me notice it, I guess. But, it was kind of odd to me that Cesaro and Swagger wasn't the final two. That should have been the final two. I think Cesaro should have got his win on Swagger there. So I guess they're going to have a singles match sometime, somewhere, where Cesaro's going to get that clean, definitive win and put him out. But, other than that, the match was okay. The last part where RVD and Cesaro was the best part. RVD was, I was surprised that they did the spot with the railing. Where he puts Cesaro in the first row and then did his little split leg deal off onto the floor. I didn't see that coming in this match. That was a throwback to RVD 10 years ago. He don't do that a whole lot anymore. So, I thought that was a nice touch. But, it was just a good little match. That's it.
What would you think, Pete?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I felt at first it was a little over-choreographed with all the convoluted spots, three-man spots and stuff. But then when he got to RVD and Cesaro, became a lot less choreographed, which is kind of funny considering it was RVD who was made a living of having choreographed matches.
Yeah, I was about to say, I just want to interrupt you and say I've been watching a lot of 1998 footage lately, and there is nothing more choreographed than DDP versus Chris Benoit versus Raven in a three-way. Just wanted to throw that out. This was not that choreographed, but continue, Pete. Okay. Continue.
I was really kind of scared with those two because that Raw match, they just didn't click at all. They seemed off, and their timing was off, like they had no chemistry with each other. But here, they seem like they clicked a lot better. Cesaro is just a beast, and he just has that in-ring charisma that's just, you really can't really put your finger on what it is, but he's he's just awesome. And I'm like with Zone, I was surprised that they went with RVD and him down the stretch. I thought they would go with Swagger because, I think it's a feud that everyone wants to get away from, but they're not getting away from it, it seems like, and we're going to get some more and stuff, and especially with this, Uncle Zed and Paulie, we thought we were going to see a little bit more interaction there. But all in all, I thought that was a pretty good match.
All right. And, at this point in time, I think RVD needs to go. The trash can spots were kind of nasty and a brutal
shit. Shitty.
I can't believe he did that, But at least, they kind of drew blood. You know what I mean? First,
That freaked me out when it looked like the lip of the garbage can got him right in the brow.
Yeah, did you see? He was busted open. I mean, he was.
The can was slitting on both sides. Yeah. Someone ran it with a gigantic garbage can cutter or whatever. I don't know.
Right.
If there's such a tool that exists, but.
Yeah, and then you had that, and then you had the neutralizer on. You had the neutralizer on the trash can, which looked kind of awkward, but awkward once again, nasty. But I'm just done with those spots, man. If you're going to do those spots, I want them to be more creative, a little bit less ECW-ish in 1997, And I don't know, man. I really wished we had the Cesaro Swagger blow off, because I think those guys have a legit great match in them. And this was a fine match. I mean, it was better than what I expected it to be.
Yeah, I agree.
It just wasn't as good as it could have been if RVD wasn't it, in my own opinion. But, it was what it was. So
maybe it's because if it's heel versus heel, you kind of maybe just like maybe not want to do that just yet because one of them is going to be killed dead. It'll be Swagger. Zeb killed
that. But that's the stupid thing with having Cesaro as a heel anyway. You know what I mean? It shouldn't be heel versus heel. They had the chance to kind of make your second big up and comer in Cesaro as a face right after Mania. The Heyman swerve was cool because it's fucking Heyman and we know Cesaro needs a mouthpiece.
Yeah.
But Cesaro gets over in the fucking ring, not on the mic. And people want to cheer him, but they're not going to cheer Heyman Lackey right now.
And I can tell you one other thing.
I think that's going somewhere. That's going somewhere.
Eventually, of course, it's going somewhere.
Because in the interview I heard with him on Jericho's show, and Jericho just threw away. He's like, "What about you and Brock?" And he goes, "Things we just don't want to talk about right now." And I was like, ooh, he gave it away.
Well, obviously that's going to happen. You know, there's going to be the professional jealousy between Cesaro and Lesnar somehow, some way.
Yep. Yeah, but I think the problem that we have, though, with Brock is because he's not a full-time character, and this is why all of his feuds suffer, because he's not full-time, because 1 week it's him, then the next 3 weeks it's Heyman, then the next week it's him. Really, the fans know he's not there for the long haul. They don't get invested in his feuds the way they should.
It's out of sight, out of mind. So we're
assuming. Yeah, man. Well, it's not just outside, out of mind, but it's also they know that this guy's a part-timer. And dude, this WWE crowd now, they are turning on the fucking part-timers. They are turning on the old guys. But, you know, I don't...
Not Brock.
Okay, Brock. A horrible Lesnar-Taker match at Mania says differently, but...
Well, no, yeah, well, Taker with a fucking concussion and all that shit is a lot more to take in. I just think you're right. They are shitting on the old guys, which goes to my point. But I think Lesnar is a little bulletproof about that. He's bulletproof on losses. He can be used over and over again as someone like, well, you beat him, you know, you've done something, even though everyone has. It's an amazing little dichotomy they've come up with him.
You know, I guess with Lesnar, it all depends on the opponent. The Cena match was exciting. The Punk match was exciting. The Triple H matches died a horrible death. The Taker match died a horrible death. Yeah. So inconsistent, man. It's so inconsistent. But you know what? He wasn't on the show, so who cares, right? Yeah. Ultimately, he wasn't on the show. What was the next match there,
Pete? Well, one other thing on the RVD. If I never hear that stupid RVD chant ever again, I'd be... Once a match is okay, but I had four of them, three of them.
Pete, why do you hate Joy?
Don't listen to him, Pete. Pete, what was the next match, Pete?
That was the handicap. It was Rusev versus Woods and Truth.
Is that the next one?
Yeah.
All right, what'd you think of that awesome down there, Pete?
It was a squash. I thought it was kind of interesting on some of the bumps they took right off the bat, but... you know, the chick was fucking smoking hot. I could see her on my television or any place in my dreams any day of the week. but the match was what it was. I don't see money in Rusev. Something about his face, it just doesn't. It looks blank to me. I don't know. I mean, maybe if he was a serial killer, maybe I could get into it. But it just doesn't. He doesn't seem like. He looks too stoic, and maybe I'm just not buying into his character.
What about you there, Chris?
Oh, Lana's the star of the act, for sure. Yeah. I mean, there's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
You know, and she's going to break out and do whatever, give somebody else, or they'll figure something out for her. Rusev, he serves a purpose. He's still got, you know, some time to work it out. They're doing it kind of right now. Short matches, squash matches. You know, once we see him in like a match that actually means something, then we'll know for sure.
Right.
You know, how he'll do. So right now, you know, it's too early to tell. But Lana's definitely the star of the show, and their skirts are getting shorter and shorter just about every show now. And it won't be long before she'll be in the short jean shorts and cut off tank top that she used to wear at the Florida State games, so she was one of the Florida State cowgirls back in the aughts. But it was what it was. Troop and Woods just getting killed. Woods took that spot, that throw on the floor, man. He's good at taking bumps. He's like, I guess you could call him like a Rocky King, you know, the new age Rocky King. Now.
Racist.
And
damn Southerner.
Yeah. and I have a certain purpose, so it was what it was.
Yeah, I don't have much to say about this. What about you, Sarah?
You know what? Here's, you know, everyone goes, oh, Johnny likes everything. The approach to this I hated because I was like, why is the bad guy being put in a handicap match against these two good guys? Okay, yeah, it's kind of stupid. You know, unless it's like
years, Johnny. Come on. You know,
but no. If it's a guy like, you know, no. If it's a guy like the size of a monster, yeah, sure. But I'm like, really, Truth can't handle his business without his little sidekick? That's stupid. And then, of course, they immediately do that and get rid of the sidekick, and have like if it'd be like some like dopey tag team, fine. But I'm like, it's R-Truth, man. R-Truth should be able to bring it to this guy without bringing along a sidekick to have to try to do it together and be babyface.
When has R-Truth been?
He's been out in Detroit like three now.
He was a main eventer last year, guys.
He was a main eventer last year, man.
It was 2 years ago, Will, in the last
two,
year.
Whatever.
Whatever.
The Rock build, yeah.
Will, am I right? Will, am I right? He should be in the feud. I don't care if Rusev kills him and squashes him, but don't ever, like, and I need another guy. He's like, that's not good for his
I agree with Johnny on the principle that two baby faces should not be in a handicap match against one heel.
Unless the heel's like, you know, the size of a mountain or something. You're like,
but I think they're trying to get at Rusev as the size
mountain. Yeah, I think
what I disagree with, though, is using guys like Truth or like Xavier Woods, who they pushed as a young up-and-comer, as those guys getting squashed. Now, if they're job fodder now.
So it doesn't really matter. But
no, but it does matter because it's who you decide to squash. To me, if some guys get nothing, I'll just fucking give them their walking papers and let them roll out. You know?
I mean, yeah, part of that was the problem with WCW back in the day when they killed the cruiserweights with Sid coming out and destroying them, where they had like no legs as credible people. But I mean, I see your point.
Yeah.
Anyway, the fact that Lana brought up a picture of Putin on the screen was the greatest part of this.
Yeah, that was the best part of the whole thing.
I'm gonna read this in. We're spending way too much time on this. Match sucked.
And by the way, the look, you're like, what? Who does he look like? He looks like Taz. He's a bloated Taz.
Let's move on. All right. Sorry, Johnny, but we're spending way too much time on fucking Rusev.
He looks like young Peter Sinergia looking for pen pals.
Let's go. All right. Intercontinental title match. Bad News Barrett, who is a fucking huge baby face right now.
I know.
This is Biggie Langston, who hasn't had heat in about 6 months. And so, Johnny, your thoughts on this match?
This was the most predictable ending of any match. like last month, there was like, well, you don't know if Daniel Bryan's going to win at WrestleMania. I'm like, yeah, you do. But there was always maybe a shadow of a doubt. There was no shadow of a doubt that Bad News Barrett was not winning the Intercontinental belt tonight from Big E, period. He has gotten this dopey gimmick over so well that of course he's going to win. Of course he's going to get the belt. I saw the match was fine, but it really was one of those. I know how this is ending. Since it's a mid card match for the IC belt, that is a shame. Normally you should be like, oh hell, back in the day, a match for the IC belt is very important. Well, not this one, and I knew how it was gonna go, and good. Because I love the fact that Barrett has gotten this fucking shit over. It's
I agree with that.
Just amazing. Yeah. It's like this. Every one of these podcasts you hear about these guys with the old timers saying, you know, all they really want to see you fucking take what's been given you and run with it and make it work. And can you do that? And they give him this dopey fucking thing, and he fucking made it work, and he became a babyface. It's poor Big E, who I like. Yeah. And he's got a future. He'll be okay.
No, he might be in the R-Truth position next year.
Nah, he'll be okay.
Said that, what do you think there, Chris?
First off, before the match, we had a moment which has spawned my current signature on Pro Wrestling Only. And another great picture in the Extreme Rules thread was we had an interview with Evolution and Renee Young, which looked like the beginning of a graphic. So I urge you to go to the Extreme Rules thread on Pro Wrestling Only to find out more about that subject. Next, Biggie needs to be repackaged. I think that
agreed.
This current gimmick, and he just needs a whole new look. I mean, he needs to be rebuilt, and probably as a heel. I think he would work better as a heel because the guy can talk. He's got personality. He's actually a pretty clever guy. I think he could do some big things. No pun intended. Wade Barrett, the Bad News gimmick, you know, that wasn't nothing they created. Cody Rhodes was actually the one that pretty much came up with the whole idea. And Wade, I mean, they just pretty much screwing around with it on the JBL Cole show, and that's where it took off at. And Wade's performance at the Hall of Fame, it started this whole push. Vince just fell in love with the whole thing then, how he got over among all the boys. So, yeah, that's what started the Bad News Barrett push for this title. I think the title is actually going to mean a little bit more now that he's got it, since he's getting the push. And I'm curious to see who they're going to put him with as a first opponent. I mean, I'm sure Big E probably get a rematch, blah, blah, blah. But, Sheamus, maybe. I don't know. He's already beat him. So, you know, I really don't know who would be the top opponent for him right now. But the match was fine. Barrett, is he improving in the ring? That's for sure.
Yeah. Well, I'll say this. Hold on, Johnny. I'll say this. With Barrett as a great talker, you know, with a gimmick that's over, it can elevate the IC title because he's a great talker. You know what I mean? Because he has this gimmick where he's really embracing it and the crowd is embracing it. So in that sense, if they don't go the route of jobbing out the IC champion to everyone under the sun, then I think Barrett can get the title over, and I think it'll be a great run. You know, it'll be a great way to rehabilitate the title while also elevating Barrett. But if they go the same route that they've gone with every other IC title holder, then it's a fucking waste of really potential great things to come. What do you think, Pete?
Yeah, I really do, because he seems like a guy who can elevate the IC title. But past history of the last 10, 15 years has shown really that I don't think it's going to happen. And I hate to say it because I really like Barrett. I don't know if he's improved so much in the ring, but you hear like Steve Austin on his podcast hit a lot that he just seems more aggressive now in the ring. Does that make sense? So it hides his shortcomings?
Maybe.
Yeah. You know, I think he's a lot more aggressive. So maybe it looks like he's better in the ring per se. And I think he has improved, but he's definitely a hell of a lot more aggressive.
And he's not just more aggressive, he's more expressive.
Yeah, that too. And he's definitely worked on some of the stuff.
Remember his Nexus run? I mean, when he was the leader of the Nexus compared to Tao, you know, he was, you know, getting pushed even higher then. You know, he was in main events against Cena, and he's way better now inside the ring as he was then.
Okay. I mean, but now Big E, yeah, they definitely need to repackage him. Every time I see him, he looks like Ice Train. He's a big old riff, you know, guy, but he's definitely a much better talker. He's a much better worker. It's a shame because he seems like he could be a really interesting character, and they just don't know really what to do with him.
Yeah, well, Big E suffered from what they do with all other baby faces. After they've been heels, you know, they become generic, smiling, slap the hand baby faces. They don't really give them characters except to be good guys. And that's really a really weak point with their booking overall over the last few years, is turning people faces, but keeping them with an edge that made them a face in the first place.
And here's a weird thing that they do, and maybe it says something about, like, what we were saying, maybe they're going to rehabilitate the title. They're like, Bad News Barrett has reached that goal and gotten that belt, and things are going to be big. And then, as if, you know, it's the first time. And then Michael Cole goes, he's a four-time Intercontinental.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay, well, see, you know, let's try to forget all that shit and move from go on.
Yeah, because he's technically a new character now. Yeah, it's almost...
Exactly.
Yeah, well, let's move on. Let's go to the main event, guys. I say main events. Main events. And so now we got the big showdown, The Shield versus Evolution.
Oh, hell yeah.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, I thought this was a great match. I like the Shield versus Wyatt's better. I think it's a much better a feud. But having said that, this match stole the show, match of the night by a long shot.
Yep.
Johnny Sorrow, your thoughts?
I love this so goddamn much. It started off as a great match. Everything's going great. Because no matter what you might think about Triple H, Batista, and Orton, they're fucking great workers. And people were like, so many people were like, Triple H lost Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania. There's no way he's going to do this, have his side lose two pay-per-views in a row.
The point was there was no way he would fucking take the fall, and he didn't.
Fall, schmall, it doesn't matter. Anyway, this went from being this great match into this fucking spectacle where I lost my shit, and I kept going, I don't know what the fuck is going to happen. I don't know. Yeah, who's... I can't predict this, and it's just... It was crazy all over. Yeah. It was the best ECW match ever with better workers all over the fucking place. And they did it right. They did it that Seth Rollins. And this is one of those things I kind of knew. I'm watching it here with my friend when they're like brawling and beating up Ambrose. In the entrance thing, and I go, Rollins is gonna come flying out of the crowd. I just know it. And it's sort of like, boom, here he goes flying out. I'm like, holy shit! When Rollins dove out of the ring and crashed and burned, I think he's literally hurt. I'm like, I think he's fucked up, dude. That was fucked up. Dean Ambrose as the most over Ricky Morton-ish babyface. If you had told me that 6 months ago, I would have said you're smoking too much pot. And boom, here he is right now. Too. Yeah, I know. And but here he is. He is the most fightingest over fucking babyface who's a scumbag at the same time. And I loved everything about this, and yes, I think from a match quality perspective, yes, the Wyatt's match was better. But the emotion in this was better.
Yeah, because we'll argue about that after I get the other guy's thoughts.
Oh yeah, okay. I was jumping out of my seat. We were marking out, high fiving at all the Superman punches and every little bit of this. It was like, here you go. What do you want? You want the young guys to kill these old guys? Is that what you want? Here you go. We did it at WrestleMania. Here's a little more for you. And thank you, because it ruled. It was so much fun.
Now, Pete, I want to ask you, what did you think? Did you think this was better than the Wyatt's feud, or did you think this had more emotion than the Wyatt's feud?
I'm with Johnny. I thought it had more emotion. You start out early with the Rollins shines. They start off with a little brawl at the beginning, and then you get the shine on Rollins, and then they cut him off, and he goes face in peril. And he's selling his ass off, and he's able to tag into Ambrose. He shines for a little bit, then he gets his ass cut off, and he's selling his ass off. They take out the big man, and then they go into like a Memphis fucking brawl that you'd see like the fucking the Fabs and whoever, the Sheep Herders or the Moondogs up in the rafters and stuff, fighting on the stage. The fucking Ambrose going down the stairs bump. Rollins with that fucking dive off the thing. I don't know how. He's like he didn't die or anyone died on that. How much freaking speed he was going at. And then you see, you build up the big man matchup with, it was just with the Superman punches and the Batista. I thought Batista worked pretty damn hard in that match. And stuff, and it just the motion. It just felt like they finally scaled that mountain, and it was just awesome.
It yeah, is- I think both of y'all have short-term memories, because when the Wyatts and the Shield squared off, you could cut the fucking tension with a knife.
Right, that was a match. Different story. It's a different story.
Yeah. You could fucking cut that fucking energy with fuck and make an atomic bomb with that shit. The Shields went off. This one right here, I'm just glad it turned into a great match. I did not care about the feud. I thought the feud was horribly built. But thank God that it turned into a great match. Chris, your thoughts?
I'm going to agree with you as far as the Wyatts and the Shield. It was better because you put those matches with those fans. It blew away this match as far as fan reaction goes, at least from the start. I mean, those matches had "This Is Awesome" chance before they even touched. All right, so there's your emotion right there. This match, we was wondering, Steve on Twitter was like, man, this is a pretty long beatdown here on the sheet by Evolution on Ambrose, who was doing his best ode to Dick Slater, doing his ode to Terry Funk at moments in this.
That's good.
He was really good as a babyface. He was really good as a babyface. And Roman Reigns as a hot tag, that is, you know, he is awesome at doing it. The Evolution was good here. Triple H and Orton, they did their roles well. And Batista and Roman Reigns, when you saw those two in the ring together, it's like, here's the future against the past.
Yeah.
Right here. Here's the guy Batista was the Roman Reigns of 2002. So here you go, right here. Here's the torch pass right here. Now, sure, Dave's going to come back and probably get the title somewhere down the road. But I knew going in he was going to be the one to do the job, because he's leaving sometime to do whatever he's going to do. So he was the logical one to job. Although I think it's funny that he's job two straight pay-per-views. And it makes me wonder, is this to get, you know, keep Orton clean for another match with Bryan down the road?
Yeah, it almost seems like they're testing Batista's will, you know, kind of like, you know, how the debut a guy hot, and then they'll have him job a bunch of times to see if he's like a company, loyal.
If he's willing to do business, yeah.
Yeah.
So it also makes sense. It also makes sense, though.
And I think this was a sign of how this is a different era. Because I would have thought that this match was going to be the main event of the show. The last match to go. But it was dead the mid-card. So Daniel Bryan, who was the world champion, actually got to be the main eventer, unlike CM Punk, you know, a couple years ago when he was the world champion, was not the main eventer on pay-per-views. So this was a different time. Triple H and Evolution as a mid-card match? Really? Yep. I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah, their return match, not just an Evolution match, but their return match after 10 years.
I don't see it as a mid-card match so much as a triple main event for this one, guys.
Yeah.
I'm not going to call this a mid-card match, man.
It wasn't a mid-card match, but it was placed in the mid-card of the show.
Yeah, but we saw this the same thing when Triple H and Punk teamed up against R-Truth and Miz. You know what I mean? Like you mean when R-Truth and Miz were main eventing every fucking month?
This is the Shield, though.
But what I'm saying,
the Shield is a wholly different thing.
Oh my God! I'm saying
everyone bitching that they thought that this match was gonna be last, and poor Daniel Bryan was gonna have to be in the mid card like Ray was. It wasn't, but yet it still is some sort of conspiracy weird theory thing. It was a triple. No, it was in the middle of the show.
It was period. It was still a main event match. Christ. It was still a main event match. But
in any arena, Jess.
Yeah, whatever.
Ugh. Jesus Christ.
Anyway, guys, earlier tonight, Johnny and I were arguing, okay? And Johnny's argument... Johnny and I never argue, right?
No,
we're arguing. No. And Johnny's argument is that this has been great because Triple H, and I'm going to read it verbatim here, Johnny, okay? It's awesome because it's not just a great match. It's seeing Triple H get beat up by the young guys, which is what people have been wanting to see forever. Yep. And I replied, Johnny Logic. He says, no, it's exactly what they're doing. They did it with Bryan at Mania, and they did it tonight with the Shield. Triple H is booking for the net, and it's great. And then I responded, no, what people really want to see is Triple H not wrestle. And he says, no, that's you and your buddy Dylan from the Wrestling Culture Podcast.
I did not say buddy.
Okay, but Dylan's my buddy. That is true. I did add that because Dylan is my buddy from the Wrestling Culture Podcast.
Credibility kind of pops up. That's problems here.
Yeah, he wanted to join the show but could not because he did not get to see the first half of the show. Didn't want to just be here for half of it. So, and I said, the people who are buying tickets you said the people who are buying tickets want to see Triple H get beat up by the young guys. And I said, yeah, about 75,000 fans last year who were silent at last year's Mania. And Johnny says, yeah, but he wasn't getting beat up by young talent. And I said, you would have had a stronger argument if he ate the pin. Okay, this is getting fucking redundant. The argument here.
Yeah, it's redundant in how right I am.
No. You're not right because you're saying this is a year later with Triple H getting beat up and losing to Brian and the Shield.
Yep.
And this is the point. This is the distinction. It's a consolation prize. The fans.
Oh, nonsense.
Shut up. The fans want to watch new talent. They don't want Triple H on their screen. But if he's going to be on the screen, he should fucking be jobbing like Pedro fucking Morales in the 80s.
Well, by the way, you said that Pedro actually didn't job in the 80s. Pedro won all the time in the 80s against jobbers.
In the mid-card, in the opening match. Like a fucking
Pete, am I right? He won against jobbers.
Okay, we're not arguing Pedro Morales, gentlemen. This is a side argument now.
Yeah,
totally off.
Point is, okay. The point is, do you really want to see Triple H in the year 2014? Or if he's going to be there, the motherfucker should lose every fucking time.
Which he's done in two pay per views in a row.
You want to see Triple H on your TV as a fucking competitor?
Dude, but the crowds, the people who go to the shows and watch TV still think of Triple H as a viable character, and they're booing him, and they're loving the fact that their young new heroes are getting over on him.
Well, Triple
now,
H, though,
I don't want them to do this for a year. You know,
I don't think Triple H jobbing in a six-man match is not significant to him jobbing in a singles match. That's where the job means something.
Exactly.
Evolution
been in this match.
They reunite Evolution, make this huge deal. Yeah. Well, now you're in trouble because we're back together. Grr.
31 world titles.
And they lose the first match they're in. If that doesn't tell you what they're doing, is Triple H going, what do they want on the internet? Let's just fucking give them what they want on the internet. Oh, okay, we get beat up by the Shield? Okay, fine, let's do that. That's what they're doing. Ugh.
Personally, I think people want to see Triple H. They don't want to see the old Triple H, but they want to see this Triple H who's putting over new talent. I mean, that's all he has left in the tank for people. You got to beat establishing stars to pass the torch. And he did it with Daniel Bryan. Sure, he didn't eat the pinfall here, but he definitely, I mean, he put together his group that dominated WWE for 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
And they put over the Shield as the new guns and stuff. I mean,
he's going to go, we made t-shirts for nothing?
Yeah.
And it allowed them to be buried by the Shield in different promos, including the first conference after the show tonight.
Yeah.
Where Dean Ambrose just, you know, called them the epitome of laziness, you know, and how they're nothing but a bunch of guys living off their past and their big buses and big houses, and how the Shield is where it's at today, and how Ric Flair recognized that last week when he saw how lazy Evolution has become. So, I mean, really.
So let me ask you this, Chris. Would you rather see the Shield against, say, a team like the Wyatts? Or would you rather see him feud with Evolution? Would you rather see him feud with like Cesaro, Brock, and another guy from the Heyman group?
Well, let me interrupt you, Will, real quick. Why do we have to have only one? Why can't we have it all? We've seen him feud with the Wyatt. Awesome stuff. We just saw him have a great match with Evolution. Awesome. Hell, I would love to see him with Brock and Cesaro. Let him, let him move around.
That Johnny's making is that people actually want to see Triple H. My point is,
people don't
see Triple H, but if he's going to be on the screen, he better be jobbing.
And which as long they as he's did.
Then fine. But the minute he stops jobbing, we have a problem. And that's what we've seen in
which
the
which hasn't happened yet.
We'll see. I don't trust this company not to put Triple H over.
So basically, you're angry about something that hasn't happened yet.
I'm not angry. I'm just fucking saying I don't like the motherfucker on my screen. I don't like watching him. But you know what? As long as
you don't
match comes, no, I don't, and I don't think fucking anyone else does either, except maybe you and Pete.
Oh, really? That's it? Yes. And not all the people who still pop when that fucking music hits.
Don't bring up the pops. Randy Orton's been getting fucking pops for years.
Yes, yes. Because everyone in the crowd, everyone in those crowds is like, I don't know why he is, you know, not in the mid-card jobbing to Jose Luis Rivera. You know, get the fuck out of here.
You know.
I will say this for Triple H. He still means something.
Yeah, he has value.
To people. He still means something to fans, especially, you know, I had a group over here tonight, and, you know, they best conveyed that this match felt more important because he was in the match, you know, because, you know, he doesn't wrestle much anymore, and, you know, the fact that Evolution's back together, you know, their first match together, you know, it felt kind of important. But I understand what you're saying. Triple H has definitely had some bad nights. Raw last week, he did not look good at all. He looked better tonight. I would give him that. But as far as him, he shouldn't be wrestling every week, no doubt. It should be for special events, and I wouldn't even have him on the
next show. Losing every fucking time.
And I'm in favor of that. I'm in favor of him losing all the time.
Because
what everyone's been bitching about for 15 years is that Triple H won't lose. Let him lose. Let him give that heat out.
Yeah, he should lose in the singles to Roman Reigns. Put him over.
Yeah,
there you go.
All right, we'll see. The jury's still out on that one. I don't trust that motherfucker. Having said that, let's move on to our next main event.
One other thing though. Right now though, Triple H doesn't have a spot he needs to protect because he knows now that he's past, he's moving into the he's got to look at the future. That's why I don't think we're gonna have that old Triple H anymore, who's looking, who doesn't want to do the jobs and stuff. I mean, hell, he let fucking Roman Reigns kick out of the fucking pedigree. That doesn't happen too often.
Yeah, not good for.
And I'll give you this, Will. His ego is so huge that he thinks that by finally jobbing to these guys, it means a huge thing, which it actually does. But it's more about his ego. You know, his ego is about lying down now, because the man, you know, is the you know, history's greatest villain, and that's all there is to that. So,
yeah, that guy sucks.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly from Ring of Honor Wrestling. Make sure you check out the Kevin Kelly Show each and every week. PlaceToBeNation.com. We'll be talking about wrestling in the past and wrestling today. Plus, be talking about all kinds of sports and pop culture. Whatever's on your mind, too, we'll answer your questions each and every week. The Kevin Kelly Show, right here, PlaceToBeNation.com.
What's that? Let me know you in the house.
This is the king of old school, Steve Corino, and you've heard all the rumors, and it's true. The Steve Corino Show is here. We talk about wrestling. We talk about baseball, movies, television, anything you want to talk about. New guest every week. That's right. The Steve Corino Show every week here on the Place to Be Nation.
Hey, this is Bauer from The Bauer Show, sports and more. You can check out The Bauer Show podcast every Wednesday and Friday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com.
The Bauer Show.
Chad, do you hate it when commercials run and run?
What do you mean, Parv?
Oh, never mind.
Listen to Where the Big Boys Play on PlaceToBeNation.com and find us on iTunes. We are the only WCW Supercard exclusive podcast.
Hey, this is Rob Naylor. Do you still enjoy pro wrestling? Believe it or not, I still do. So you better join myself and Will on the Google Wrestling Podcast exclusively at PlaceToBeNation.com.
Shit, I wasn't ready. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening and shit. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening to guys talk about old school wrestling, follow me and Charles on Wrestling with the Past podcast on Place to Be Nation.
So you got the script, yeah? You all got it?
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds terrible. The Titans are wrestling... Oh, brilliant. Sorry. The Titans are wrestling off.
Pete, I'm a lead analyst for a show and breakdown matches.
Kelly, lead historian. I'm a jobber lover. Are you?
Johnny and I drink.
And yes, me, Bob. We watch old school wrestling and love it.
Titans of wrestling.
You know you want to hear it.
What's going on? This is the Godfather, Nate Milton, with an offer you cannot refuse. Each and every week you can join Marcus Vandenberg, Big Nasty Alfred Kunawa, and myself on the Kings of Sport podcast, available exclusively on PlaceToBeNation.com, your one-stop spot for the best in sports and pop culture.
Hey, this is Ben Morse from Marvel.com as well as the Brad and Chad Show, and I've got a new podcast. Well, I'm part of a new podcast, Place to Be Nation's Main Event. Hosted by Scott Criscolo every other week, it's a roundtable discussion with myself, Andrew Reich, Steve Willey, Jordan Duncan, and an assortment of special guests as we talk wrestling today, the big questions, and our feelings. Please, please, please check this podcast out, because if the ratings go down, I know I'm the first head on the chopping block for Justin Rosero. See you guys every other week on Place to Be Nation's Main Event.
I'm Scott Criscolo, and your new home for sports is Place to Be Nation's Extra Point. Join me and the doctor, George Urbelino, for your sports hookup, whether it's NFL, Major League Baseball, NBA, colleges, or the Cowboys MMA Blitz.
Forget about it. Plus, join me for my prescription where I will solve all the world's sports problems with my own brand of medicine.
That's Place to Be Nation's Extra Point, here on PlaceToBeNation.com.
In Rhode Island and look for great food and a fun atmosphere, well, be sure to stop by Bonehead's Wing Bar, 131 Washington Street in West Warwick, with over 65 different wing sauces and dozens of sandwiches, burgers, and appetizers. And a fully stocked bar, Bonehead's has something for everyone. Bonehead's also shows every WWE and UFC pay-per-view, features live music, weekly trivia, and much, much more. So be sure to stop in, tell Matt and the crew that Place to Be Nation sent you, and become a Bonehead today.
What's up, wrestling fans? This is Jeff Peck, and you can check out my wrestling podcast, The Still Real to Us Show, every Saturday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com. It is a wrestling podcast from a fan's perspective, and we're not doing it in our mom's basement. So check it out every Saturday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Looking for new wrestling, sports, and pop culture voices? Head over to PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. We have an extremely talented staff that covers comics, video games, and all facets of entertainment. Our sports coverage spans all the major professional and collegiate sports, including MMA. Our fresh takes on professional wrestling are some of the best on the internet. Don't forget to check out our fantastic podcasts as well, including the voice of Ring of Honor, Kevin Kelly, exclusively at PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. Also, be sure to check out our friends at thehistoryofwwe.com, prowrestlingonly.com, Scott Keith blog at rspwfaq.net, and PileDriverWrestling.net.
Anyway, having said that, let's move on. This is a rematch from WrestleMania, except it's in a steel cage. John Cena versus Bray Wyatt and his entire family. Now, I'm not going to call this Kerry Von Erich versus the Freebirds.
I was thinking the same thing.
I'm not going to call this Ric Flair versus Kerry Von Erich in a cage, because it was not. It was like Kevin Von Erich no-selling a bunch of shit against all three Freebirds at the same time.
it happened.
Having said that, my argument is, if you take last month's Mania match, which I thought was a legit great match on rewatch, and put it in front of this crowd, you have a match of the year. Unfortunately, we have this match in front of a great crowd, and it was not a match of the year. Ashu, Pete, your thoughts.
Okay. I will say, I thought Cena worked hard. I thought he took some nice bumps into the cage, and he showed a lot of good athleticism. But he looked like the world's stupidest babyface by constantly trying to climb out of the cage when they're also allowing you to score pinfalls. So why would you, after the second or third time, it's like Sting getting turned on by Ric Flair. It was inevitable. Once you're climbing that cage, one of those guys are going to climb up and meet you. Go for the pins. He just looked like the stupidest baby face. And then he looked like he was defying all the odds. The finish was beyond, I don't know. I mean, it was like, maybe I'm just not intelligent enough or I'm not culturally hip enough to understand what the hell they were going for. I just didn't get the finish. I don't understand it. Cena, sold it like it was like some kid pulled a gun on him. I wouldn't let him leave the cage. Yeah, it was just a fucking shitty, just a mess.
Yeah, okay, Johnny, why don't you help Pete with the finish?
Let me explain.
Please explain it to me. Is it? I still think it sucks.
Okay, number one. I do think that this had to suffer by following the Shield Triple H evolution.
Well, hold on, but it did not suffer in heat because the crowd was fucking hot for this.
Oh, no. Crowd was hot. I'm talking about me personally. I also had to deal with Will and me going back and forth on the phone, you know, about what we just did while I'm trying to pay attention to a fucking wrestling match. And I liked it. I thought that these guys were good. It was a good match. You're right. Never has there been a more WWF trying to escape the cage match that was kind of like, ugh, since Bret Owen, which stinks. And yeah, I said it. And but the ending, I'll give you that. I thought the match was perfectly fine. It made sense. You know, baby faces aren't generally the smartest people in the world.
Okay, now you're busting Johnny Logic here. That's a straight up hashtag Johnny Logic.
Love the one bit. I love the one bit where, no, it just wasn't that baby faces were dumb. It's that these cult members are smart. Cena's coming over, and Rowan gets right underneath him and piggybacks him right back in. Boom.
But when you can still, why would you be trying to escape when you failed already? That you know,
because
and you could pin him. There's a viable option of the pin. It wasn't just escape the cage rules.
He never hit him with anything to put him away for a pinfall.
Oh, okay, then, but he hit him with something where he could escape the cage, which takes longer than 3 seconds.
That's wrestling, you know. Escape the cage rules. Basically, I've never been a fan of escape the cage rules, and so therefore you have to adjust your mentality when watching.
I understand that, but it wasn't just escape the cage rules. You could also win with the 3 count because they counted.
John Cena wants to be
there.
He wants to be a hero like Hulk Hogan.
Wish he would have been a hero like Jimmy Snuka, jumped off the motherfucker and blew out his knee.
I wish, too.
Christ.
Out of his knee. I wish he'd been a hero like Jimmy Snuka and dove off the cage like a goddamn hero. But he was trying to prove himself to the fans who are, you know, turning their backs on him. And the only way you do that in a WWF cage match is climb over. And Hulk Hogan proved that. It's the Hulk Hogan theorem. And if you look it up, it's there. That's why they made the cage blue and easy to climb.
But there wasn't in the Hulk Hogan matches that you couldn't win by pinfall those.
No, yeah, exactly. But he wants to do that. He wants to do it the way on the.
That's a horrible
weird
argument.
Weird WWF thing. If I run away, I win. It's and I like the little Johnny because.
Let me in on this.
Little Johnny should be a former cancer patient.
Little Johnny. You're calling him Little Johnny, so you're making
up characters. They called him Little Johnny.
No, they didn't. They called him Little. Yeah, they did. You're right.
He's Little Johnny.
I hope
that he was in a bed next to some kid who got away, make a wish, and Little Johnny didn't. You know,
what would have been great is a vignette where he's doing a make a wish, and the little make a wish kid pulls out a fucking sheet mask. That'd be awesome. But it didn't happen. So, what do you think, Chris?
All right, let's get this straight. All right, the WWE cage matches, I mean, if we go back and look at the history of WWE cage matches, I would say that less than 10% ended by pinfall. Every one of them just about ends by somebody climbing out the cage or walking through the door. That's the way they do business. All right, to the finish. This whole angle is definitely been the best book program going to into this show, I think. Because
I love the angle.
What the Wyatts are doing, what Bray is doing, is what is Cena's biggest fan base, his kids, his children. He had this children's choir last week in sheet masks. And tonight you had this one solo child standing in the way of John Cena. And John Cena is just blown away by this child singing this demonic voice, looking at him, you know, and what is, he doesn't know what to do because he's always had his kids. You know, the men hate him. Sure, the women, you know, cheer for him, but the kids have always been there for him. And now they're turning against him because they're being brainwashed by the Wyatt family. So he doesn't know what to do now. So that's why he was stunned and allowed himself to get put out by Sister Abigail, and Bray Wyatt was able to walk out. And now you got little Johnny as a character, who knows if he'll be on every show now or they'll have this different kid show up. But yeah, this is I would guess it would maybe have seen a maybe snap because of this. Eventually, I would hope that it goes that route because I don't think this feud is over by a mile, even though they had a cage match. Yeah. So it's got to lead to something, I think, with Cena. But that's what the deal is with that finish. Well, it's Cena loves the kids so much, and now the kids are turning on him. Dude, what do you do? Who do you have left?
I see what you're saying, but when I gotta overthink a finish, I think a finish sucks.
One thing about the match itself, it was way too damn long, there was way too much interference by the Wyatt family. You know, the cage is supposed to keep them out, but they spent most of the match inside the cage. So that's what rubbed me the wrong way about the match. The match itself was okay. I liked the WrestleMania match way better than this one. But the finish was creative, and it made me want to wonder what's happening next. And, you know, I don't get that a lot in WWE anymore with this, you know, the intrigue of, ooh, what's going to happen now? And that's just, you know, stuff like that's got me wondering, what's next?
I'm glad
with all the interference,
it would fucking end already. I'm tired of this fucking feud because I think Cena's wrestling it horribly, in the sense that this should be Cena's moment of doubt. He shouldn't be beating all three fucking Wyatts.
Yeah, that's a fact.
I mean, dude, he fucking made them guys look like fucking jobbers. I like them as creepy, evil fucking ass kickers. You know, when Daniel Bryan went over the Wyatts, it's because he locked the other two out and got Bray alone. This time, all three of them were in the fucking ring, and they couldn't handle Cena. And he made them look like idiots. He single-handedly beat all three of them.
Yeah, it's kind of like a
Mexican kid with fucking Barry White's voice started singing to him.
I'm curious who it is. It's a bad habit of still doing this. Is that they've got to change it up. So, because Cena, you know, he can't be Superman every single time.
That's my problem with it, man. He's not showing the appropriate fear or doubt. Anyway, fuck that. For the fucking Wyatts. His feud.
No. His feud. He's John Cena. He's been for 10 fucking years.
But the whole point is, the reason this storyline would work is because he would show doubt in his ability.
He has shown doubt.
No, he's all jumped out that little kids don't fucking like him anymore. What do you fucking do?
For weeks he's been showing doubt, where he shows doubt and then you see him like shaking it off and going back to the way, you know, he delivers a promo because that's what he's supposed to do. And it's all very subtle. It's very good.
And they made a big deal. They did make a big deal in the post show about how he did not do the press conference.
Yeah, that's
John Cena would normally, you know, talk to the media after the show. You know, he is really in a disturbed, you know, state right now. So they made a big deal about that.
And the way, also part of the booking I had problems with was the way that they treated Rowan and Harper. They almost treated it like Cena was Stone Cold, and those two guys were the stooges from the old McMahon regime and stuff like
or,
that.
Or, you know, or Cena was Dusty, and that was the Purple Haze, and one of Kevin Sullivan's other goons. It's because all this is Kevin Sullivan with a budget. You know, it's... Come on. Someone needs to be in a Santa Claus outfit soon.
It'll be the next Jake the Snake, yeah.
Yeah. 6 months. Eight months or whatever.
Anyway. Well, let's go to the next match. Paige versus Tamina Snuka. I really have high hopes for Paige because I've seen her have great matches.
Mm-hmm.
I want her in with the right opponent. I'm thinking maybe a natty, maybe if AJ returns, maybe a better match. I didn't enjoy this ladies' match. I'm sorry. What about you, Sorrow?
You know what? Went up, had a smoke, came back.
Simple enough.
In fact, it was right after I was sure the cage match was over and all the fun, weird shit was done. And like, let's go have a smoke real quick. I don't want to pause it because this is the first time I've used the Roku, and I don't
want to tell you. Don't want to curse it.
Exactly. So come running back into halfway through. I'm like, oh, well, I knew there was going to be a chick match, but I didn't even know who it was. And it was basically like, yeah, Paige is hot. And okay. I love her, and she's hot. And I want to, you know, marry her and but otherwise
calm down.
I don't. She's a really good worker. I've seen her in NXT and with some great fucking matches. And number one, I hate people with no last name. That I just did annoys the shit out of me. It always has. Paige. Okay, give her something.
Let's move on.
Paige Sorrow has a nice little ring to it.
Paige Sorrow has a great ring to it.
Pete, what do you think about this match?
I love her finish. Yeah. I love that finish, but it was kind of rough watching her put it on someone Tamina's size. Yeah, and what do they call it?
The where Tamina was 2 inches off the ground instead of
what do they call it? The scorpion
half lock or something. Yeah.
Cock-lock.
It doesn't matter. Chris, Pete, do any of y'all have anything to say about this that's relevant? Or can
that
we move
bump,
on?
That bump Paige took into the guardrail was pretty brutal.
Paige, that was rough.
Paige is good, you know. Yeah, and I'm like you, Will. I want to see her with better opponents. Tamina, she's okay.
No, she's not. She sucks.
Bad. She's okay.
She sucks, but I want to see her and Alicia Fox. I want to see Alicia Fox and Paige back on the fucking screen because I like that match they had on Raw a few weeks ago. I want to see if Alicia Fox can get a 10-minute match on pay-per-view to prove her worth. That's it. Fuck this match. Let's move on. Fuck Emma. Until she gets away from Santino, I don't want to see that bitch either. Anyway,
Paige and Emma were awesome in NXT.
In NXT they were, but I'm saying until she's away from Santino, I don't want to see the fucking Pink Cobra or any of that
stuff. Yeah, I know. Yeah, whatever it's called.
Fuck all that. Let's move on to the main event. Guys, on the main event with our buddy Scott from the Place to Be Nation the other night, we did a little preview show of the pay-per-view. And I made the point that Daniel Bryan is the only person who should be allowed to have a match with Kane because Kane sucks if Daniel Bryan's not in the match. There were some good spots in this, some neat things going on. But I'll tell you from firsthand experience, once you put two guys in the back for an extended period of time for a fight, it kills the live crowd.
Not tonight.
I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you.
Loudly chanting. We were noticing it. Me and Big Spoke were talking about it on Twitter. Like, the crowd's into this match and it's backstage.
Yeah, I didn't catch it the same way. I guess you and Big have fucking
rewatch.
Like, y'all have fucking bad ears or something.
Well, my buddy Wolfman was there and texted me right after and said the place was exploding. So,
like while they were in the back.
Yep.
Didn't sound like it to me. I know when I saw Cena and Alberto Del Rio in the back, 2010, 2011, whatever fucking year that was. I know that it fucking kills the fucking crowd. Now, having said that, if this is a special crowd that loves backstage brawling, good for them.
I'm just saying that the guy who's my best friend, who was there at the show, I asked him because I thought it went silent. And I asked him.
But that's what
like,
I'm asking.
He's like, no. He's like, no, everyone's going
crazy. No, it was loud. It was very audible.
Loud. I was watching the TV, man. You couldn't hear the fucking crowd like you.
Rewatch.
I'll rewatch it tomorrow, man, before Raw. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I don't care if I am. I really don't, because I didn't think this match was that fucking special anyway. But that's just me.
I preferred their matches on the build to WrestleMania, to tell you the truth.
I'm with the
free TV.
What about you, Chris?
Oh, I thought the spots here were pretty good until the table at the end was quickly done. The whole flaming table, the Kane just bounced right back up into the ring and got his knee to the face. But I think the forklift deal, and Daniel kind of mentioned in the press conference on the post show, was like an ode to his dad, because he said that his father used to drive a forklift. Cutting wood and stuff. And he did it for well over 10 years, because he was asked, where'd you learn how to drive a forklift like that? And he said, well, I used to work with my dad and blah, 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 blah. He drove for over 10 years. So I got experience in doing that. So I thought that was like a cool, you know, hat tip to his dad. Daniel, you know, he hasn't worked much since Mania, with selling the angle and the honeymoon. So he went all out here. The diving headbutt was a dangerous spot from where he was jumping from back into the ring. That could have been ugly. But Kane was fine here. You know, I'm not one of the big Kane detractors. I think he's good when in spots, and sometimes really good in spots. And him and Brian have a pretty good chemistry together. So I thought the match was really good for what it was. But I don't know if I want to see him again. But that's obviously where it's going. Where Kane bounced back up and did his pyro again. So they're not through. And it made me wonder if they're going to do the Inferno match next.
I hope not. I don't want to see him on again.
I know. I'd like to see him again, but Inferno matches suck. So
I don't want to see him again anytime soon. I don't mind it. Let me put it this way. I don't want to see him headlining another damn pay-per-view. I if they want to put him on Raw or SmackDown, I have no problem with that. But I really don't want to see him headline a pay-per-view again.
Oh, and Brian was also asked in the press conference. Do you think that is Kane through? Or are you and Kane done now? He said, "I'm not done with Kane." So he said, "I'm not done."
With Kane. Oh no! I hope that just means tomorrow night on Raw, and then that's it.
Yeah. Raw. It'll be Raw. It'll be Raw.
Well, I mean, they don't have fucking pay-per-view buy rates to go off of anymore. I could see them extending this out. Since we're not going to get the Batista Orton kind of run that we thought we were going to get with Brian. You know, so I could see them doing Kane in the Inferno match. Kane in
they might go more old school.
Maybe one.
But you're married
one.
For like 4 months or so.
But, man, there's just so many great potential Daniel Bryan matchups that, we want to see. I really don't want to see this one. So.
Slowly.
I'm just saying, it doesn't have to be slowly. That's the thing. There's so many.
But it's always has been, so why people don't think it's not going to be.
I don't know. I mean, you know what I want to see? I want to see tomorrow night, Kane fucking talk shit, Daniel Bryan, fucking Mark Henry fucking power slams fucking Kane to hell, fucking turns into fucking Hall of Shame Mark Henry, rehabilitates himself. Daniel Bryan, Mark Henry. There we go. That's what I was
saying. And then Andre the Giant rises from the dead in shape.
Oh, I'm sorry that Mark Henry was dead. It was in a fucking valuable draw in 2014. Mark Henry proved last year one great promo, and he's a fucking draw. Done.
I just don't want to
get
off of Daniel's.
I'm just saying, if we're gonna be imagining things, tomorrow night I want Boogie Woogie Man Jimmy Valiant to show up and become the biggest star on Raw.
Dude,
and,
have you seen Jimmy Valiant the year 2014?
He should be. He's awesome. I don't care. I don't care because I'm fantasy booking. Because I'm fantasy booking what I want. God damn it.
And I thought you'd be using your imagination where it'd be a Johnny Cesaro Page and the Russian chick three-way. And yes, you go exactly. With Johnny Valiant. Pick up the Boogie Woogie Man instead.
Exactly. I want Boogie Woogie. I want Jimmy Valiant on a glass-bottom boat while I'm banging, whatever.
Just now he's steaming in her.
It's awesome.
Well, Sylvester Stallone is going, I wish I'd thought of that.
The difference between your Jimmy Valiant fucking wet dreams and the Mark Henry rehabilitation is the Mark Henry rehabilitation, as proven last year, all it takes is one fucking interview and it's done.
Oh yeah, I'm just saying that. I love Mark Henry like my family. I was at his first match. You know, I was at the Spectrum when he squashed Lawler. I love him.
Fucking eating dinner at Johnny Sorrow's.
Mark Sorrow.
Mark
Sorrow. The thing about Henry and you know their opinion of him is they think he gets injured too much, so that's why they're not going to push him high anymore.
Yeah. I forget who it was the other night who made a great point, is that the way I see Mark Henry is the way they see the Big Show, in the sense that they always push the Big Show in that rehabilitation. Like,
I was
slub, and then all of a sudden when they need someone strong, they push the Big Show. When I'm thinking that could be Mark Henry, because the difference between Big Show and Mark Henry is when Mark Henry fucking headlines a pay-per-view, they get fucking better buys than expected. The worst fucking buy rate of all time.
People were like arguing Chris. Some months ago, people were going, you know, it's about time Mark Henry, you know, does the job, you know, that you're supposed to do as an old guy and lose on the way out. And I was the one to go, why? Why does that have to be the tradition? Why? Just because it is? I go, fuck that tradition. Mark Henry shouldn't have to do it. That's how much I like Mark Henry. So, fuck that
tradition. I like how you impersonate other people's voices while there's not even that, you know, they don't even have a real voice.
That was, yeah.
And it's not about buy rates anymore. You know, we talk about buy rates.
That's true.
Yeah. It's done.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly could see them burying people for like 4 months now. Since there are no rush to go through these things and use different gimmicks like Dusty used to book.
I think someone on the Pro Wrestling Only message board said that basically all of these shows are Clash of the Champions now. That's all they are.
Yeah. They are Clash of the Champions.
You know what? That's not an insult. How awesome. I have every Clash. I'm looking at my stack of DVDs of every Clash. And of those 36... 33 of them are some of the best wrestling shows I've ever seen. So
it's really not
an insult.
I wouldn't even say they're Clash of the Champions because they didn't run them monthly. What they are is MSG, Spectrum,
Boston, there you go.
Monthly shows on the networks now. That's what they are.
It's a way of looking at it, yeah.
Yeah, minus all the jobbers losing in the beginning.
minus the 20 minutes of matches. Hell match.
Trust me, me and Pete know a little about MSG and Philly and Boston fucking cards and what they fucking filled out the first half with. Holy vey.
No Baron McKill Sakluna against Johnny Rod match.
Yeah.
Dominic DiNucci, a 20-minute draw with Jose Luis Rivera. Yeah.
Watching the Baron play Hide the Foreign Object.
It's a main event in any arena, Pete.
One thing I want to mention about the match, I'll get back to the match real quick, is the one part where they were brawling in the back and Brian threw Kane into the WWE truck, he threw him right into the picture of Ezekiel Jackson. Who just got released.
Is that who that was?
Is it really?
That's hilarious.
Ezekiel Jackson tweeted out, he said, I'm glad I helped Daniel Bryan win his match.
That's awesome.
Because I go, that's not Big E. But what black man is that? I didn't know who it was. Holy
that's
shit.
Awesome.
he was relevant when R-Truth was headlining.
No, Ezekiel Jackson was never relevant.
Yeah, never. He was ECW champion at one time.
That doesn't make you relevant. He was never relevant.
More important than he is now in wrestling. How's that?
The best thing he ever did was when he was Brian Kendrick's bodyguard, and they did this shot backstage where Brian Kendrick's reading The Art of War, and looks up and starts talking, and in the background of the scene, Zeke is reading Green Eggs and Ham, and it was the greatest fucking thing ever.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah, that was awesome. That's it for him.
Well, I'll tell you what, guys, this was fun. Before we head out, though, I want to do a couple of things. What do you want to see on Raw tomorrow night there, Pete?
Man, I don't want to see Daniel Bryan and Kane, but it looks like we're going to get there. And it looks like they're going to continue Cena. What I want to see is I would love to see I want to see the Shield. Let's go hell. Let's see a Shield Wyatt six-man. Yeah, or I don't know. Well, let's go War Games. I'd like to see a War Games with the Shield and Evolution. And the Shield will have Daniel Bryan and they'll have Kane.
Mm.
Not going to happen, but hey.
No, it might.
Don't speak so fast on that. Have you seen the proposed seating chart for the Battleground show?
No.
The way it's set up is there's two. It's available where two rings can be side by side.
Nice.
We can only wish, man. We can only wish. That's awesome. What about you? What do you want to see on there tomorrow night there, Johnny?
I want to see just the Shield come out and just be more fucking cocky. and you know what I like to see? I want to see Evolution come out and kick ass. Because I want the fucking feud to continue.
I want Evolution to look like their new fucking t-shirt, fucking Day of the Dead. Fucking Dia de la Muerte and shit. Killed off my fucking screen.
As a fan, I'm like, yeah, look at these guys. I'm like, it's all these guys who I saw in the indies in 2005, and they are now the powerhouses who are killing Triple H and his cronies, and I love it so much, and I want to see more of it. So, sue me. I love it.
Okay. Well, what about you? What do you think, Chris?
Cena snapping. I want to see
That's good.
That would be the best possible scenario is where that motherfucker just loses it. We can only hope. I mean, look like Superman Knight. I want to see that guy in a different dimension. Having said that, all right, before we wrap it up, thumbs in the middle, thumbs down. First of all, Sorrow, I know what you're going to say, but say it.
Thumbs up. Of course, thumbs up.
What about you, Pete?
I'm going to thumbs in the middle, even with that killer six man. Everything else kind of felt flat or unnecessary, so I'll go middle.
What about you, Chris?
I'm going to say thumb in the middle, slightly going up. If I was going to say this 100, I'd give it a 60.
A 60?
There was some really good. There was some really good stuff.
60's failing in my...
He gave it a D.
No, well...
That's a D back in 1985, man. That's
a 50's, in the, 50's in the middle. And that's what says thumbs in the middle. We're at 50, right?
Slightly
going above 50. Because there was some good stuff on this show. And there was some stuff on the show that was like,
Now they're basing it on the bell curve.
Middle of your... You know what, I think.
The bell curve of pay-per-views.
Anyway, yeah, I'm going to go up.
It's got a half chub.
You were more excited than I was, man. There was no chub going on tonight.
Wade Barrett, Bad News Barrett was more excited than anybody that night. So, if you know what I mean.
This was one match.
He has giant balls.
This was one great match surrounded by a lot of coulda, woulda, shoulda. I'm going thumbs leaning down because that one great match kind of saved the 3 hours for me. But if that Shield Evolution match was on the show, this would have been a pitiful show.
Yeah. So,
You're all nuts.
I thought it was going to be a pretty damn good show, and I kind of just disappointed. It didn't meet expectations.
Yeah. It was. You're all crazy.
Coming from the guy who has been in the crazy house, that's awesome. You're actually one who's only certifiable crazy, though.
Yes, exactly.
Hey, fellow.
So I know crazy when I see it and hear it, because I spent time in one, and you people are insane. That was a B-plus show. fantastic. I marked out jumping out of my seat, high-fiving my friends at least six times during this show.
And at Mania, that you leapt up and awesome. High-fived 22 times. There's a difference, you know? Fucking God Christ.
No, the main event, we're just like, No, the main event, actually, someone upstairs turned on another streaming device and everything froze, and I ran upstairs going, I told you!
Anyway, guys, this was fun. I have work tomorrow. I know Pete has to work tomorrow. Johnny has to work. I want to thank everybody who listens to this podcast and listening to the Place to Be Nation. Check out Pete and Johnny on the Titans of Wrestling podcast.
Greatest, yeah, we just podcast. Did the Callies.
Yeah. Yes. Well,
the Callies.
I don't know what that is, but okay.
Our year review of 1980 WWF, the awards show.
Oh,
we had a lot of guests Callies. On Dusty Rhodes, Liberace, Ron Simmons.
Nice. All right. Anyway,
it also is the greatest and finest wrestling podcast of all wrestling podcasts. Titans of Wrestling.
You know you want it.
Yep. Y'all are fucking horrible. Having said that, guys, love having you on the show. We'll do this again the next month for what's the next pay-per-view, Chris?
Payback.
For Payback. We're going to pay back Johnny for that.
In Chicago, so you know what that means.
It means absolutely nothing.
Nothing. Nothing.
Oh, speaking of, real quick, where is Phil Brooks? Was trending worldwide on Twitter tonight.
Where's what? What?
Where is Phil Brooks?
Yeah. Guys, I've said goodbye three times. This time I mean it. Everyone have a good night. We'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.